97 years ago, Rabindranath Tagore became the first non-European to have been awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1913. Tagore's genius was truly multifaceted. He was at once a poet, a playwright, a novelist, a painter, a composer, a philosopher, and an ardent social critic who spoke vehemently against colonialism and injustice. He is the author and composer of the national anthems of both India and Bangladesh. Yet, the enthusiasm with which Tagore's works were received in early 20th century has almost entirely disappeared from the West. As his 150th birth anniversary nears in 2011, Tagore remains largely unknown to audiences in North America, particularly to the youth. Joining me today to talk about the legacy of Tagore and his continued relevance in the 21st century is Ananya Mukherjee Reed, professor in political science, international development, and social and political thought at York University, and the director of the International Secretariat for Human Development and the director of the South Asian Studies Program here at York. Hello, Ananya. Thank you for joining us.
Hi.
Let's start off by you giving us a bit of a background to Tagore, his life and his works.
Well, you already gave a very nice introduction. Tagore was born in India in 1861, and he lived till 1941. And he was, just as you said, the first European to have received the Nobel Prize. And he had written in almost every literary genre, took up painting very late in life. And then the other lesser-known aspect of Tagore is are two things. One is that he was a very, very strong voice against colonialism and injustice. And then he was a pioneering educationist and an internationalist. He actually established two universities and a center for rural reconstruction because rural India was a very important part of his concerns. And he also was very strongly against the idea of narrow nationalism at the same time that he was also a very strong critic of the West.
And you bring a lot of really interesting ideas that I hope we can discuss in a bit. So before we get to maybe looking more at his ideas, can you tell us, why are we doing this? Why is Tagore 150 years, after his birth, still relevant to us today?
In many ways, but, what struck me most in the past 16 days as I sat in front of the television, like many other people, watching the events in Tahrir Square, how relevant Tagore's words are in terms of the resistance that we are seeing. Let me just read you. It is not a translation. I'm not a poet. I find it impossible to translate Tagore. But just a gist of one of Tagore's songs, and I have to acknowledge that my mother, Vandana Mukherjee, actually helped me put it together. The lines are simply this. The tighter their shackles, the stronger our defiance. The bloodier their eyes, the greater our awakening. The louder they roar, the quicker we rise. The harder they strike, the more they rouse us to resist. It's very similar to the poetry of the Tunisian poet Al-Shabi, which I believe is inspiring the crowds in Tahrir Square. So the question of resisting illegitimate power is something obviously is very central to Tagore's work because he was writing during the time of British imperialism in India. And also what is very evident to me when I watch Tunisia, Egypt, and so on, is that while he was saying we must resist colonial power, it must come to an end, at the same time, he had already foreseen that simply putting an end to colonialism will not actually bring about the kind of justice that the peoples of these countries were aspiring to, that there may be internal elites internal to these countries who would be equally legitimate, would be claiming their power equally legitimately and would be equally detrimental to the well-being of the people. So to me, these are some of the things that are that make Tagore relevant to us even today. And then there are questions of how he saw gender relations, the situation of women, the question of youth, the question of this divide between rural and urban development. All of these are absolutely quintessential issues today.
And I'm hoping that maybe we might be able to get into some of these issues. So you talked a bit about his anti-colonial stand.
Tagore is obviously writing at the time of British colonialism, and he is a contemporary of Gandhi. And Gandhi calls him the Great Sentinel. And on the one hand, Tagore is very much a voice against British colonialism. In fact, there is this very famous incident where in the Punjab, there is a massacre by the British Army in April in 1919, when in response to it, Tagore revokes his knighthood and writes a letter to the Viceroy saying that please relieve me of this badge of honor, so-called badge of honor, which is now for me a matter of shame. But on the other hand, Tagore is worried about two things. One is that a recourse to a very narrow nationalism, where we are only thinking of, you know, very chauvinist, which he calls actually chauvinistic nationalism, is not going to lead India to the kind of development that some people were aspiring to. So he, in fact, he says that my goal in these last days of my life is to get out of the shackles of narrow chauvinistic nationalism and build a society that is human. His question was always the question of broader humanity and not just narrow nationality, which, as he rightly foresaw, was another path to power or injustices. The other concern that he had was also kind of elitism, that the elites, which are now the leading nationalist elites who were leaders in the struggle for independence, when they come to power, they would create a kind of society which would again not be beneficial for the millions of ordinary Indians. And he writes many, many times that elitism should not be the basis of our social fabric, that we need something really egalitarian, really just. So it's a very broad perspective, which is anti-colonial and internationalist at the same time. And it's a strong critique of the West, and at the same time, in search for a bigger humanity.
And you mentioned a lot of other issues that the work of Tagore really explores. And I know we can't get into all of them, but I think this idea of gender, if you could a bit more discuss that, that would be really, I think, interesting for our listeners.
So Tagore talks about women actually in a fairly unusual way for his time. And I would say, you know, even now, the way he understood the intricacies of the way women think and feel and respond to situations is really, I love the way he does that. Now, he was writing at a time of the colonial struggle. There are quite a few women women characters in his plays and novels who are deeply involved in politics, and they are often not actually seen as equal partners by men in the struggle. And he brings out time and again the way in which they are not only committed to the anti-colonial struggle, but they actually understand the complexities of the times very well. Some of his work straightforwardly, actually I would say all of his work, quite straightforwardly also shows the oppression of women at that time. But his typical writing is not simply about showing the oppression of women, but about showing how despite that oppression, and sometimes even because of that oppression, they have, these women hold out worldviews and struggle and argue and suffer in ways that are not readily are not understood by the rest of society. So he tries to bring out all of this. He quite often shows the entanglement of politics and love, and the way women try to work these two different realms. And then a lot of the relationships, the man-woman relationships that he shows, are in very unusual circumstances. There's unusual for those times. There's a lot of marriage, a lot of love relations he talks about, which are outside of marriage. Younger women falling in love with, older women falling in love with younger men. And so on, and also outside of the typical. And so I would say that, I mean, it's very difficult to characterize all of Tagore's work on women, but it is all of those things: the oppression, the question of young widows, for example, then the problem of institutions, and finally the entanglement of politics and love. All of this come together in his work. But the overall approach that Tagore, the worldview that Tagore has about women, is that they are not treated equally, that they're, whether it's in love or politics or society, that it is patriarchal, and the quest is always for this equality where men and women are become truly partners.
Okay, so we've talked a bit about these really important issues that Tagore helps us to reflect on, and also the relevance that we can see that it still has today. So in a very, I guess, in a practical sense, how can we, pedagogically speaking, create a space for especially youth to engage with Tagore's work?
It's very important that youth does, because Tagore was really a poet of youth in some ways. And by youth, I don't mean the young in age, but the young in ideas, which should include the young in age. But the idea is that you know, he was living in some ways himself the clash between traditionally established ideas and the clash with new ideas, which are actually coming from the youth. And so he has this, for example, very famous poem where he says that the young will have to strike hard at the old, who he refers to as the half-dead, and must bring them alive. He has this throughout his work. There are many references to youth as the most important most important driver of change. And what I find here, young people would find very interesting in Tagore, is he's also a great, he's also talking about a kind of nonconformity, in the sense that he's saying that don't try to fit into given labels. Be who you are. And if the world calls you mad or useless, or they say, I can't understand you, you resist the world. You find the strength in yourself to be who you are. And that I find, you know, now that we are going through all these crises of identity, and it's very difficult for youth who are dislocated in many ways and getting many different messages from our social fabric to really strike out and be who they are, I find this message extremely important. And so I would invite everybody to try and seek out. A lot of his work is available in translations. Not always the best of his work is available in translations, but, you know, one can always find some area of work. And we, through a kind of project that we have undertaken, are thinking of launching a creative forum for the youth, where they could take anything from Tagore, anything that strikes them, resonates with them, and put it in some kind of a format that they related. Could be any type of multimedia format or textual, could be writing, verbal, audio, visual, whatever. And we hope to launch this this creative competition sometime soon this year, and it should be adjudicated, and we should have awards announced towards the end of the year.
And as we mentioned in the beginning of the interview, this year marks the 150th anniversary of Tagore's birth. And you mentioned this youth competition that you are putting in place. And all over the world, there are celebrations and activities. And so I was hoping that maybe you can speak to us about what's going on in Toronto and also the website that you've launched.
Right. So first of all, I would direct everybody to the website, which is tagore150toronto.ca, tagore150toronto.ca. And we are going to post all our events there. And there, a number of organizations are producing different events. The first one we have is coming up on February 26th. It is at the Royal Ontario Museum. And you'll find it on the RUM website as well as our website. And it's presentations of Tagore's painting, art, music. I believe some sort of fusion renditions of Tagore music and so on, which should be attractive to people with many different tastes. So that would be the first event. And then we have other events coming up. And everything would be posted on this website. I would really encourage your listeners to go there. And it's also got a lot of Tagore's work, paintings, etc., and a slideshow on Tagore as well.
Thank you very much, Ananya. Is there anything that you would like to add before we end the interview?
No, it's just that I hope to see more visits on the website. And if you have any questions, there is a contact page. You can very easily contact us through that website as well.
Thank you very much. And we were speaking to Professor Ananya Mukherjee Reed, and we were talking about Rabindranath Tagore and the 150th anniversary of his birth. Thank you for listening. Thank you.